Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God tonight. This Wednesday night Bible study. We're back in the house. And we praise God for that. Amen. On this Wednesday, and then we're going to pick up on our Bible study in Galatians chapter 4, where we left off the last time. We're not going to pick up exactly where we left off. In fact, we're going to start at verse number 21. And I believe, amen, that we will get to the end of the chapter. So our hope tonight is to start at Galatians chapter 4, verse 21, and to go down to verse number 31. So we're going to, it's not up to us, amen. We're going to see whether we could get there. But at least we'll start at verse number 21 as we continue. This book is a book about freedom. We've been saying it over and over again, but it bears repeating that this is a book about freedom in Christ. That we have freedom in Christ Jesus, right? We are no longer subject to the law. Now, when I say we are no longer subject, right? You know, it's not as if the law was given to us, right? But this whole idea of trying to live right and to do right, to be pleasing in God's sight in our own strength, we could never achieve that, whether we were born in biblical times or whether we were born in present time. Can't do it. Right? We need it in the human race, humankind, we need a Savior. And that's why we rejoice, because God gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be that atonement for us, to pay the price that we couldn't pay, to live a sinless life, to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And so, but now we accepted Christ Jesus, and Jesus did everything already. It's really foolish to then try to dot I's and cross T's, believing that that's what's going to please God. It's unnecessary pressure, and it's fruitless in the end. And so what Paul is encouraging the Galatians, and what and is also encouraging us, is to live in the freedom that is ours in Christ. Right? If someone has paid the price for you to be free, it's no sense of you and I trying to continue to pay the price of something that's been paid. Right? Christ paid it all. Now, we should enjoy the freedom that comes with that. And because we have his Spirit, we will live a life as the Spirit leads us, and as we obey the leading of the Spirit, that's going to be pleasing to God. But it's not going to be because you and I are trying to be good little Christians. It's because we're grateful, we love the Lord, and as the Spirit leads us and gives us guidance and gives us direction and gives us commandments, we say yes. And that's what's pleasing to God. And so Paul is trying to tell the Galatians, because they had accepted Christ, but then they had fallen back into this idea of, I got to work for my salvation. I got to work to please God. I have to do certain things. And Paul says, not so. And that's the thrust of this entire book. But it's something that for us is so important, because Jesus said, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. And so we have to understand we've been made free, but, you know, we need to live free indeed. Amen? Actually live free. And that's what this book is encouraging us to do. So we're going to look at Galatians chapter 4. We're going to start at verse number 21, and we're going to begin reading there. We'll stop along the way, have some discussion, and be blessed by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Well, let's pray first as we begin this Bible study. Father, we lift up our hands in the sanctuary. We give your name to praise. We thank you and we bless you because you're God. And Father, we ask you now, as we are here, to just speak to our hearts and mind. Lead us deep into the Scriptures. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will guide us into all truth, yes, the truth that makes us free. And we just bless you, O Lord, right now, for teaching us your more excellent way. We incline our ear to your voice right now. We thank you, Lord, that you speak unto us and you give us a discerning heart. And Father, we just bless you, O God, for building us up in our faith and opening our eyes, causing us to see as you see, know as you know. You've given us the mind of Christ, and for that we give you the praise. Now, Father, have your way in this place today, and we give you all the glory and the honor, because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's look at Galatians chapter 4. Let's start at verse number 21. As Paul continues to talk to the Galatians, and he's saying to them, don't go back to trying to live by the law. Amen. Let's look at verse 21. He says, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Let's just stop there. Paul is saying, okay, you guys want to live by the law? Tell me something. Don't you understand? Don't you hear? Don't you grasp? Don't you listen to what the law is really saying to you? And then he starts talking about Abraham having two sons. One was born to a bondmaid or to a slave woman, and the other was born to a free woman. So let's just stop there. What was he talking about? Okay, so let's talk about the sons. Who are the sons?
Okay, he's talking about
Ishmael.
And Isaac. Why are you laughing at? What, you thought it was a trick question?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's just a question. All right, so the two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. And so the son that's born of the bondmaid was...
The son
was born of the bondmaid was...
Ishmael.
And the son born of the free woman was Isaac.
We're coming in.
Quicken their spirits, Lord. Okay, so we have Ishmael and Isaac. And I almost prayed to ask this, but and Ishmael's mother was
Hagar.
And Isaac's mom was
Sarah.
Come on now.
Sarah.
You're better than that. I know you're better than that.
Sarah.
With Sarah. Amen. Glory to God. It's been a long week. We only have midway point. Praise God. Okay, so he's setting this up, right? He said that we have here Abraham having two sons. One born of the slave woman, which is Hagar, is the slave woman. She gave birth to Ishmael. And then the other is born of the free woman, which is Sarah, and she gave birth to Isaac. And he says in verse 23 that he who was born of the bondwoman, right, was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. So what Paul is saying here is that when you look at Ishmael, who was born of Hagar, that was in fulfillment of Sarah coming up with a plan that Abraham went along with, right? Because at 75 years old, God called Abram out of his country and told him to go to a land in which I will show thee. And he made promises to him and said, you're going to be the father of many nations. I'm going to bless you. You're going to be a blessing and so on. And, you know, 10 plus years had gone by and there's no kid, no son, no child. And so Sarah comes up with an idea and says, well, I have this handmaid named Hagar. Why don't you and her get together and she'll bear a son that'll be just like its mom. And Abram went along with that. And Ishmael was born. And at the time, you know, now Abram is 86 years old. And Paul says that the son who was born of the bondwoman, which is Ishmael, was born after the flesh because it was human intervention. It was Sarah and Abraham understanding that God gave them a promise, but yet saying to themselves that God is being slow in fulfilling his promise. And so now we have to get involved in bringing the promise to pass. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did. But just because they got involved in what they thought was helping God bring the promise to pass doesn't make Ishmael a child of promise, because human flesh got involved in that. And they said, we're going to help this come along. And so Paul says here that Ishmael, born of the slave woman, of the bond woman, was born after the flesh, because it was because of, you know, the fulfillment that Abram and Sarah worked out by hatching this plan and following it out. But he continues and says, but he that was of the free woman was by promise. That Isaac, who's born of Sarah, and this is now some 14 years later, right? Because at 86, they have Ishmael, Abram, and Sarah, and Hagar. We see Ishmael. But now Abram has Isaac when he's 100 years old, and Sarah is 90. And Paul says, this child, who was born of the free woman Sarah, was by promise. And the reason why Isaac is a promise is because this had nothing to do with human intervention. This had nothing to do with Abram and Sarah trying to now get involved. Abraham and Sarah now trying to get involved and make it happen. This was totally God fulfilling his promise at the time that he appointed. And in doing it, nothing mattered. What I mean by nothing mattered? Meaning that, you know, the scriptures talk about that in Romans, it says, Paul says that Abraham didn't, he considered not his own body now dead. Right, what he means, like, he was so old he might as well have been dead. And neither did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. Right? But it said that he just continued to believe God. And he didn't stagger because of unbelief, but he continued to believe God. And God fulfilled his promise, overcoming the limitations of nature, overcoming the limitations of Sarah's dead womb, of Isaac's dead body, and made them conceive a son anyway. Why? Because it was by promise. It wasn't by, you know, them coming up with a plan. It wasn't because they went to some fertility doctor who kind of made it happen. It wasn't because they started studying calendars and said, oh, at this time, this is the best time for us to get pregnant, right? It wasn't none of that. It was God fulfilling his promise. And it's really something, because God speaks to us and gives us promises too. Not as great as this one, right? Necessarily. But God will make a promise to us. And how many times do we get our hands in the midst as if we're going to help God along?
Yeah.
Now, we've talked before that you have to be a part of your deliverance. In other words, you know, there's times where you just can't sit at home, you know, munching on popcorns and bonbons and sitting on your couch and then saying, I'm believing God for a job, but never go out for an interview, never send a resume. There's times you have to be involved. But there's a difference from being available for God to direct you and lead you and guide you where you need to go, as opposed to you've got to patient waiting for God to do something, and then you say to yourself, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm now going to do what was necessary. You know, because that's what Abraham and Sarah did when Ishmael was born. And so Paul is saying, listen, when you look at these two, you have two things going on here. You have two sons in Abraham had, Ishmael and Isaac. One was born of a slave woman after the flesh because human intervention was involved. And the other one was born of a free woman, and that child was by promise. This was God's word being fulfilled by God, the way God wanted it to, in the timing in which God had ordained. Mm-hmm. How many of you know, if that's how it plays out, it's going to play out in the best way possible.
Yeah.
You and I, trying to rush God along, we only going to mess it up. Mm-hmm. One of the most difficult things of the walk of faith is to be patient. Especially in this day and time when we're conditioned to believe that somehow speed is something to be desired. At some point along the way, the prince of the world, the prince of the air of this world, which is the devil, has convinced people that somehow speed is to be desired. That if you don't have it fast, something's wrong. If you can get it fast, that somehow that's such a benefit. That's why we like instant oatmeal. You don't have time to do it like Mama used to make it. We need instant oatmeal. We can't even get out of our car to get the 6,000 calorie double, triple baconator, cheeseburger, chili fries. We can't even get out of our car, maybe just burn a little bit of calories by doing it. Now we got to sit in our car and go through the drive-thru. Why? It's quicker. Yep. We have to microwave it. We want things quick. We were talking this morning about this younger generation, this millennial generation, that, you know, they get into the workforce, and I'm making a generalization, so that means by definition it's not true in every situation. I understand that. But I also understand it's true in some situations.
Amen. Yeah.
Generalizations touch somebody. I say, yep. Yeah, he falls into that category. But there is too much, I believe, in this society that we live in this country, where people want, you know, you see younger people entering the workforce, and they're there for a couple of minutes, couple of months, and they think they should get promoted and get raises. Where we came up, it was such a thing like pay your dues. Anybody ever heard of that saying? You need to pay your dues. You need to do what? You need to put in your time. Come on the job, and after 6 weeks, you think you should be assistant manager. You don't even know anything yet. And in them 6 weeks, 2 weeks, you took days off, and you ain't got no vacation days yet. But we want things quick. We want things quick. And what is...
That's me. Yeah.
We got next time plug that up in there.
Okay.
We have to understand that we can't, like, one of the things that's so important is patience. The writer of Hebrews says that they inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. But waiting is hard. Because while you wait, the devil's talking in your ear. Whether it's going to happen or not. Showing you other people who are getting things, and somehow you're left behind. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so one of the hardest things to do is to be patient. And that's what happened to Abraham and Sarah. They had a promise from God, but they were too impatient. And they said, let us get in the road. Let us help it out. Have you ever gotten impatient waiting for God to do something for you?
Oh, yeah.
To open a door? Right? Have you ever gotten impatient with God and doing things for you, things that you needed done, and you know, things that you, movement that you needed in your life? I think we all, as we walk with God, there's just been times where we say, Lord, I need it now. But sometimes that impatience can get us in trouble. And they got Sarah and Abraham in trouble. So they had a child who was born after the flesh because they wanted to get involved. But Abraham and Sarah had Isaac, who was by promise. Just simply God fulfilling his will. The Bible said God is not a man that he should lie. Hath he spoken, hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Right? If God said it, God's going to do it. How many believe that?
Yeah.
Amen. What about the thing he said that you don't have yet?
You gotta wait.
How long, Lord?
It don't matter.
No, it don't matter, you said. No, but I just held that in my spirit because Psalm 13, verse 1 says, how long will you forget me, O Lord?
Yeah.
That's word, right? I mean, people of faith can still get to the point and go, how long, Lord?
Yeah.
And see, if you're phony, you're going to say, I never do that. The Lord, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Yeah, I know that. But still, sometimes you go, how long, Lord?
Yeah.
Now, you just want to be funny? He's on time, he's on time. And you know, we get into that song, right? Well, we used to. Anybody sing that song still?
No.
I bet you somebody's singing it. Listen, it doesn't mean you don't have faith if you stand before God and say, how long?
Right.
It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. You know, and God understands that you can get to that point and go, how long, Lord, how long? But see, you need to have that conversation with God. And I think sometimes some of the conversations that we have with each other are not good conversations, but you can have that same conversation with God. Well, it's the same thing though. If it's not right here, it's not. I can talk to God in ways I can't talk to you. See, because I can say to God, this is not right. And see, God gonna show me the error of my ways. But see, I can go to you, this is not right. You may start agreeing with me. And I might be as wrong as anything. But see, it's our frailty speaking.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it doesn't take long. It says misery loves company, right? It doesn't take long for two or three miserable people to get together and start having a pity party, you know?
Yeah.
But how does that help anybody? Listen, you can pour out your complaint to God. He can take it, number one. And second, he can deal with it from a position of absolute truth. And he can speak to you in your complaint and show you things, including the error of your ways. And we can rely on that all the time. I'm not saying complain to God like with your fish like mad at him, but out of an honest and open heart. You know what I mean? Has anybody here ever gone through something and said to the Lord, this is not right? You ever tell the Lord that?
Yeah.
You ever tell the Lord, you know, all the things you've been doing? You know, you tell them, I've been serving, I've been tithing, I've been reading my word, I've been talking to other people about you, and this is not right, this is just not right. I know my face has gotten ugly before God plenty of times,
I remember one time I was crying to the Lord. I was crying. And this was years ago. I was crying, crying, crying. And I'm talking to God. I'm talking to God. And I just happened to go in my bathroom. And I looked in the mirror. And I'm like, woo! I nearly scared myself. Boy, I got ugly before God. I just cried. You can lay your complaint unto God. If you're going to pour out, if you're going to bear your soul, the best person to bear your soul to is the lover of your soul.
Yeah.
Bear it to God. People sometimes say, I never knew you were going through stuff. That's because I don't tell you the stuff I'm going through. I tell it to God. Well, God and I have conversations, right? You got some conversation with God?
Yeah.
Man, the more, thank you, Lord. The more you talk to God, the less you need to talk to people.
Yeah.
If you're talking to God about your stuff, you're not getting on the phone talking to girlfriend about your stuff. You ain't telling your mama about your stuff. You ain't putting your stuff on Facebook, hiding it in like a word, but you really letting people know what you're going through. You ain't doing all that. You talk to people less if you talk to God more. Because the more you talk to God, the more wisdom he's going to give you, the more guidance he's going to give you, and he'll help and guide you through your stuff. I don't know how we got there. Oh, we got there because we're talking about wait. Abraham and Sarah couldn't wait. I'm turning back to Galatians now. Abraham and Sarah couldn't wait. So they have Ishmael is born of the bondwoman Hagar. But he's a child of the flesh, and Isaac is a child of promise. Let's go to verse 24. And Paul says, when you look at this, those of you who want to live under the law, he says, look at Abraham, look at the two sons, look at the two mothers of these two boys. And he says in verse 24, these things are an allegory. In other words, he's saying that the story of Abraham, the story of Isaac, the story of Ishmael is an allegory. It's a story that if you interpret it, has a deeper meaning. And he says it's an allegory. He says because these are the two covenants. These. What he's saying is that Ishmael represents one covenant and Isaac represents another covenant. He says one covenant is from Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is where they got the Ten Commandments. He says one is, that means it's the law. Mm-hmm. He said one of these covenants is from Mount Sinai, with Jendrith or leadeth to bondage. He said, and this is Hagar. It says Agar probably in some, but this is Hagar. And he said, and this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is. In other words, he says that these two boys are part of a deeper story, a deeper allegory. And Ishmael, who's born of Hagar, right, is one covenant, and Isaac is another covenant. And he said, Ishmael, born of Hagar, is Mount Sinai, where we got the law. But he also says, it's also Jerusalem, which now is. In other words, he's saying at this point in time, he's saying, but it's also representative of present-day Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And he says that the one from Mount Sinai gendereth or leadeth to bondage. And what he's saying is that, listen, the law, and especially the way it was being carried out in what was then modern-day Jerusalem, where they had the law, but they had also all these other add-ons to the law, had resulted in this rule-keeping. All these rules that they had to keep. Right? The Pharisees, how come they don't wash their hands before they eat? Right? How come you're healing on the Sabbath? Who told you to take up your bed and walk on the Sabbath? Right? They had all these rules. And so what it does, and when you have too many rules, it leads to bondage.
Yeah.
At least you, you know, oh, you, if you do this thing, you're going to violate some other rule. Then if you don't do it, you're going to violate a third rule. And if you do that thing, then you're going to violate a fourth rule. And you just end up being tied up in knots. And what he's saying is that Ishmael, born of the flesh, is representative of the covenant given on Mount Sinai, which was the law. Nothing was wrong with the law, but the way people were trying to live it out, first of all, led them to be tied up in knots.
Yeah.
It led to bondage. And the law by itself, of course, you know that no one could fulfill the law anyway, right? That is going to point us to the need of a Savior. But in verse 26, he said, but Jerusalem, which is above, or a heavenly Jerusalem, is free, which is the mother of us all. And what he's saying is, Hagar represents Mount Sinai and the covenant of the law. But Sarah, and also represents what was Jerusalem, which now is modern, when at this point, present day Jerusalem, not today's Jerusalem, but at the time he was writing this. He said, but Sarah represents Jerusalem, which was from above, heavenly Jerusalem. In other words, the city that God always intended for, where there's freedom. And he says, she's the mother of us all. Of us all who? Those who believe. And the reason why Paul was also talking about the Jerusalem, which now is being tied up in knots, because he realized that the leadership and the Jewish people generally in Jerusalem rejected Jesus Christ as Savior. Right? By the time Paul read this, Jesus had already ascended. But they had rejected Jesus as Messiah because they thought they had to live by the dictates of the law. So they were tying themselves in knots. They were now slaves to the law, having rejected Christ. But Paul is saying those of us who have accepted Christ now have the freedom which is from above. Then he goes to verse 27. He says, for it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. And your Bible, some of your Bibles might point to you that's Isaiah 54:1. So who's this barren, rejoice barren, that beareth not, break forth and cry. And Paul is saying, listen, when you look at Abraham and Sarah and you see his two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, it's a deeper story. It represents two covenants. Ishmael represented the law, because he's a child of the flesh, and people tried to obey the law through their own power. It didn't work. It leads to entitlement, leads to being in bondage. And Isaac represents the covenant of grace of God and the freedom that we have because of what Christ has done. And he represents that freedom. And it says here in verse 27, rejoice thou barren that beareth not. Break forth and cry. Because you have, he says, many more children. The desolate has many more children than she which has a husband. So what is he talking about? Who has a husband? And again, he's making an example. He's talking about Christianity versus Judaism, right? In other words, see, those who were part of the Jewish people who had the relationship with God because Israel was God's people. They had a husband and their husband was God. If you look in the scripture, you see many times that God talks about his people and he talks about how they committed adultery and they played the harlot.
Right.
He uses that symbolism, right? Their husband was God. But now we have early Christianity here, right, which is the barren woman. Why the barren woman? Because it seemed like there's not many people. There were more in the Jewish nation trying to live by the law, at least early on, where they have all these children, where those who were now following Christ, they were fewer in number. But what Paul is saying is that he's using Isaiah 54 and 1 is saying that the barren woman, the one who seems like they don't have that many children, you need to rejoice, break forth and cry, because you're going to have many more children than the one who had a husband. In other words, there's going to be a whole lot more who are going to come to this freedom in Christ, and there's going to be many more children on this side than on that side. And so he's trying to encourage the Galatians. Listen, yeah, there may be all this movement toward the Judaizers trying to get you to believe in Christ and follow the law. And it seems like there's a lot more of them than us. But you need to rejoice right now, because on this side, there's going to be many more children of the barren woman, apparently barren woman.
Yes. Yes.
Than those who had a husband.
Yes.
Because they ain't listening to the husband anyway. Because they were listening to the husband, they would have known that the husband was always leading them to the son.
Yes.
Who was going to make them free. But instead, what do? They committed adultery by doing what? Chasing false gods. Right? Doing all those things that you know, disobeying God and all the rest of it. And he said, you need to rejoice. But I want to say something else here, too. You know, sometimes we can see people who seem to have all the advantages over us. They seem to have the things that we want and that we need. And we think that they're in such better shape than us. And I think that there are times we need to take this scripture and realize God is speaking to us in situations like that. See, in other words, look what he said. He says, rejoice, thou barren. And barren means you don't have anything.
Right.
And yet, how many times we equate rejoicing with getting? Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? We equate rejoicing with getting. Get a job? Yeah. Right? Get a car? Get a house? Get. Right? I got blessed. Hey, I'm rejoicing. But what about this? God said, rejoice, O barren.
Yeah.
So in other words, empty person, God tells you, rejoice. He's not telling the full person to rejoice. He's not telling the person who has everything to rejoice. He said, you who have nothing. In other words, right, those of us who walk by the Spirit, see, how many of you know, I love the scripture in Acts. I don't know exactly where it is, but my wife knows and she could tell you. Where it says that the early Christians, one of the people were complaining to the leader and said, these are the men who have turned the city upside down.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? These are the men who have turned their city upside down. I want you to know something. To me, that's exactly right. As Christians, we need to turn some stuff upside down.
Amen.
And we need to realize God specializes in turning stuff upside down. That's why he says things like the last will be first and the first will be last. That's turning stuff upside down. God says, give, and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. He says, the way you get things is by giving things. That's turning things upside down. Right? And here's another example of God turning things upside down. He said, no. This is not about rejoicing when you have stuff. Rejoice when you have nothing. Rejoice, O barren. Do you think God is telling and saying to us, and I understand that, you know, we can tell him, well, that's not what the scripture told me to do. You see the words for yourself, amen? Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. There are times when you are trying so hard, but you're not bringing anything forth. You're putting forth effort, and it seems like you're not making any progress. Anybody ever been there? It's like you feel like you're knocking your head up against the wall. you're trying to make your marriage work, but the others, your spouse just, why am I doing it? You're trying to get through to your kid, but they're not paying you any bit of money.
Right.
You focusing on things. You're trying to put your nickels together and save some money, but it seems like every time you put your money in the bag, it's like when you put it in a bag full of holes and more money going out faster than it's coming in. You're trying to maintain your peace, but it seems like everybody trying to just try your nerves, get on your nerves, testing you, making you remember the days when, you was on a playground and you used to start taking the earrings out your ear and putting the Vaseline.
Yep.
That's just some of the guys. Glory to God. But there's so many times, you're trying to do what's right. You ever try to do what's right and you're like just running into a brick wall and you're seeking God and you're setting yourself to be obedient unto God and to listen to His voice and you're doing what He said. And it seems like as you do that, it's like everywhere you look, it's like it's just not working. You're not bringing forth anything. You're not being productive. You're not achieving anything. Every now and then, we hit these little stages of life where nothing seems to be flowing and moving. Yeah. And if it hasn't happened to you yet, keep on living. As Pastor Schwartz used to say, keep on living, because it will happen to you.
Yeah.
And if you're old enough, you say, oh, no, but don't worry. That happened to me several times. Right? Several times. Sometimes, right, we hit those lows and we hit those hard patches and we hit those rough patches. But when that happens, God is still saying unto us, rejoice, O barren. You're not producing anything. You're not bringing forth anything. Nothing new is coming forth out of your life. It seems like same old, same old, same old. Even though you're trying and you're believing and you're walking in faith and you're confessing and you're praying and you're doing all these things, and God still says to you, you need to rejoice.
Yeah.
And those are the times when sometimes we do that crying and we get all ugly in the face. Or we start to lose hope and we start speaking in unbelief. But God says, rejoice. All I can say is that there's somebody who's listening right now who needs to understand that even though it seems like it's been a hard road and nothing is changing and it's dry land and there's dry bones around you, God is still saying to you, rejoice, thou barren. You need to lift up your hands where you are. You don't need to be all loud. Do you know sometimes you can just praise God by going, thank you, Jesus. You ever know that? I know we get to the thing and sometimes it's all dramatic and we got to get all dancing and have our dance moves and stuff. Yeah, you can do all that, but sometimes... Thank you, Lord. Rejoice, thou that art barren, thou that beareth not. Break forth and cry, thou that travaileth not. For the desolate, that's the one who has nothing, right? The one who is empty, hath many more than she which has a husband. It says many more children, but this is, we're going back to our other point, that there are times where it seems like other people have more stuff than us, and you think that somehow you're such a bad person. And God said, you need to rejoice, because if you rejoice, you need to understand how this story is going to end. You're going to have many more than the person you're looking at, and you think they got all that stuff. And if you could see as I see, you wouldn't be sitting here having a pity party, you'd be lifting up your hand, because you know you were a day closer. Do you know every day that God gives you means that you're a day closer to fulfillment?
Yep.
You ever think about it like that?
Yep.
That every day that God gives you, you're a day closer.
Yep.
What time is it? It's time to leave. The world is fun, y'all. I have fun. All right, so rejoice, O barren, thou that travaileth not. Here's something that's up. The one that is desolate had many more children than she which had a husband. Now we, brethren, he's talking to those who believe in Christ, as Isaac was, are children of promise. How many of you know you're a child of promise? Right? You are a child of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. What is Paul saying? Ishmael started to mock Isaac. Isaac was a little boy. Because once Ishmael saw that Isaac comes on the scene, he realized, ooh, I'm not going to be the heir. Because I'm born of a slave woman, and Isaac is born of Abraham's wife. And so now he's messing with Isaac. He's messing with Isaac. And so he started messing with him. So it said, he that was born after the flesh, which is Ishmael, persecuted him, bothered him, annoyed him, you know, did things to him, who was born after the spirit, which was Isaac. And it says, even so it is now. What's Paul saying? He's saying that there are some who are outside, who are born of the flesh, who are following the old covenant represented by Ishmael, who are persecuting those who are following Christ. Yep. Just as it was back then. That's why he said it's a deeper story. All you got to do is look back at Ishmael and Isaac, and you can see something that's relevant to right now. That those who are of the covenant of the flesh, like Ishmael, and those who are following the law, Ishmael persecuted Isaac, who was a child of promise, born of the Spirit. And so it is now that the Judaizers who try to follow the law and are following the old covenant are persecuting those who are now trying to live under the new covenant.
Yeah.
He says the same thing. He says that's what's going on right now. But if you look back, that's what God was talking about way back then. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. That's what Sarah said to Abraham when she saw this was going on. Said, you know what? Oh, what? He bothered my son? Cast this woman and her son out of here.
Yeah.
In Genesis 21 and 10, she said, cast this bondwoman and her son out of here, because this bondwoman, the son of the bondwoman, is not going to be the heir with my son. And in verse 31, Paul wraps this all up and says, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Amen. And it comes back to that whole point. We are free in Christ.
Yeah.
We're not the children of the bondwoman. And even though it seems like we're small in number, rejoice, O barren that beareth not, because you're going to have many more children than she that has a husband. May I close before I get in trouble. My wife always tells me about my time. I don't like getting in trouble with Sister Renee. Hey. But God is good, amen.
Amen.
The Lord is good, amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. That'd be a good idea. You imagine we had a 2-hour Bible study. I'm the only one that's seen the one. I'm the only one that's seen the one that been for the last. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. I can go for a 2-hour Bible study. She looked at me. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God is good, amen. His word is good, amen. Praise the Lord. We just bless God for His word. Let's pray tonight. I think you're ready to leave. Father, we do bless you. We just thank you for your word, God. Father God, your word is just so wonderful, so good. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with your word. And you're blessed with your Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, who gives us understanding and opens our eyes that we may see even the deep things of God. And Father, we just bless you for it in the name of Jesus. Father, we're praying tonight that the word that you have spoken in our ears, God, that, Father, we will rehearse them over and over again, oh God, and the Holy Spirit will even bring the increase in the name of Jesus. Even as we leave this place, Father, continue to allow us to meditate on the word that was spoken, that we may continue to grow in knowledge and grace. And Father, we bless you for it in the name of Jesus. God, as we leave the place now, we ask you to give us safe passage over the roadways. Bless us as we make our way home. And Father, we're praying that you will bless us in our homes, that you will be present there, that you'll watch over us, and you will give us peaceful sleep and rest on tonight.
Yes.
And Father, we just thank you for being our God. We love you, Lord. We love you. We adore you. We cherish you. And we lift you up and we bless you. There's none like you. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.